From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington. Exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Brian and Vinny. Along with Granny and Craig and sometimes other people. They're paid by a con, and they'll say,
everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny Show, and why am I so dark? Oh, it's a disaster as always. We promised a free show here today, and we're already late, and we're trying to get Craig hooked up here, because he cannot get connected for some odd reason, which usually means something got reset here. So, my computer restarted. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to try and get this figured out, so... Anyway, what do we got today? Hello, everybody. Hello, all of our listeners on YouTube and Twitch. Is anyone there? I'm not even sure. Let's see what we've got here. What an exciting show. You know what we got SmackDown to talk about today? And also Collision? Two big shows today. No pay-per-views. And I'll bet you anything when I push this button right here, something is going to go wrong. Ready? I'm going to idiot-proof it, though. Ah, it didn't. Look at that. All right. Well, listen. We're going to just get started here today, and we're going to figure out what's going on with Craig, and worst case scenario, we'll give him a call here in a few minutes. So, let's go.
We watched AEW Collision, March 15th, 2025. We opened with a bunch of short-to-the-point effective promos scattered in random locations around the building, and this particular building was the Virgin Hotel in Las Vegas, so there's lots of cool-looking locations. This is just an easy little thing that took like 2 minutes. I really enjoyed it. Ricochet is there in a black shirt with red clouds on it and an NFL baseball cap backwards in front of a marble wall saying Shibata will forfeit. He'll go on to be the international champion. We then go to Shibata, who holds up his phone, which simply says, "Shut up, Baldy."
Mm.
Mark Davis calls out Mark Briscoe. What is Mark Davis's nickname?
It's just Mark Davis.
I think he calls himself Dogzilla.
They said something like that.
Dougzilla, but his name is not Doug.
It might be Dogzilla.
Like Dogzilla, like, at least you're such a big dog. Yeah. You're like a radioactive monster.
You know,
monster.
Some people think I really don't like this Mark Davis. I thought that Mark Davis like did a good job in the actual match. Yeah. But like, what's going on here with this guy?
He is a large, thick fella from Australia.
Duckzilla? Someone says it's Duckzilla. Is that right?
That's odd. Never thought of that as a intimidating.
Well, anyway,
manly man, tough guy. Nickname.
I've explained this 1,000 times. I don't like to criticize anybody, but like in wrestling, something's got to stand out. Okay, mm-hmm. Something. Yeah. Maybe you're a great talker. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're like a fantastic worker. Maybe you've got a great physique. Maybe you've got abs. Maybe you've got some crazy hairdo. Something.
I was gonna say crazy hair.
Okay. Mark Davis is the most absolutely normal person in the history of wrestling. I shouldn't say wrestling.
AEW, probably.
He's getting, you know, he won. I mean, he beat Mark Briscoe, as we're going to get to. You know, he's kind of got a little bit of a push here. But, like, what is a thing that Mark Davis has that sticks out? You know what I'm saying?
You can't even talk about how he's a thick fireplug of a man, because I watched the whole match thinking they should put Butcher and Brody King and Mark Davis together. It's just three big dudes. Except those guys at least have scary tattoos.
Yeah, Brody's got tattoos. He's got a big old beard.
Yeah.
He looks like a, you know, you look at him and you go, pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Before you'd even say band member, you look at the guy and you go, pro wrestler.
Yeah. Same with the Butcher.
Butcher, pro wrestler.
Yes. Mark Davis.
You know what I mean? Or old gunslinger. Something.
Mark Davis, you would think perhaps truck driver or real estate agent.
Nothing against truck drivers or real estate agents.
Nothing at all.
But, you know.
But I don't want to pay to watch them fight. Some truck drivers, I guess. It would depend. But anyway, he says his piece. Briscoe vows to run right through him. Undisputed era standing in front of what appear to be giant keychains. Vow to be FTR again. And FTR in front of a bunch of portraits. They vow to beat Undisputed Era instead. So we are at the theater at the Virgin Hotel in Las Vegas. Another cool venue. Very full crowd. It's got like three or four levels. So there's a verticality to it. A height to it. Really like that. Ricochet versus Katsuyori Shibata. And what I guess they're calling a tournament for the international title shot at Dynasty. They show, the one clip they show leading to this was the Ops winning a squash on Dynamite. Because Shibata won that match with a PK. And he wanted to get it as his finish, get it over as his finisher here. So the biggest thing of this match is that next week, due to the college basketball tournament, they're doing Collision on Saturday and Sunday. And not a replay. They're doing two different shows. We'll see what happens to our show about that. So this is a very, very fun match because Ricochet is a cocky prick who does a lot of flips. Shibata is a bad motherfucker who just kicks and punches you a lot. And that's what they did constantly throughout. And they suplexed each other for a while. Shibata tried to win the submissions. Ricochet tried to finish with flips. And Ricochet eventually avoided a penalty kick, but hit a cradle, hooked the ropes to the win. It was very good. We are 3-for-3 in good matches in this tournament.
I will say that I don't know what happened during the break, because it was during the break here in America. I guess elsewhere some of you might have seen the match without a break. But, man, these fans were not into this match when it started. They were just kind of there, kind of watching it or whatever. They come back from commercial, and now they're hot. And I don't know if they were just, like, slow going early or whatever, or, you know, I don't know. But, man, when they came back, they were really into it. And it's kind of a weird match. It's Ricochet versus Shibata. That's a little weird. But they managed to make it work, and Ricochet pinned him using the ropes, and now he is in the four-way this coming Wednesday to determine a number one contender for Kenny Omega.
Yes.
Yes.
Should also point out there's a period here where Ricochet was being a fantastic geek where he was in control of things, but like a dummy, decided to sit down and trade slaps with Shibata. And Shibata didn't even bother to laugh all these off. He just invited Ricochet to hit him as hard as he could, which was not very hard. And Shibata didn't even hit back. He just reached out and grabbed his big bald head in a claw hold. And they went from there. I laughed. They had clips of Orange Cassidy beating Hechicero and Speedball debuting and beating Beast Mortos. And then a hype video for the final match of the first round, Mark Briscoe versus Mark Davis. Speaking of Mark Davis, I hope you enjoy him and his crew, because they were all over this show. The Murder Machines and Mark Davis are torturing geeks backstage. And that was that. Tony Storm does a promo video. Many Las Vegas double entendres about filling slots and things like that. She wants to collide with Megan Bain. She will make shark fin soup and then be put away again for animal cruelty. That sounds bad.
Sure does.
Yeah. So, apparently, there is a faction in AEW called the Frat House. This is news to me.
Oh, man. I don't want to be that guy, but, like, first off, when they introduce the Frat House, I am 99% sure that the ring announcer called them the Crack House.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck are the Crack House?
Frankly, a better name.
Because when you think about it, I thought, you know, Speedball Mike Bailey. Do you know he's called Speedball?
I assume it's not joke related, but it was
the thing you go like this, the boxing thing?
Speed bag.
That's a speed. Well, no, there's a Speedball. It's like a brand.
I guess. See. Okay.
It's like the. But.
But most people hear that and think about drugs.
Sure. That's what I mean. For years, I thought, why? He's a drug addict? Mm. Like, what the hell's going on here? So anyway, then I find out it was actually
the brand.
The brand. Mm. So, you know, when they introduced the Crack House, it was like, okay, well, that can't be right. So, and then they put a thing on the screen and it says the Frat House. And so I, in fact, I thought the exact same thing. who in the fuck is the frat house? Now, nothing against the frat house or anything like that, but like, I watch every single Collision. I watch every single Dynamite. I did not watch every single Rampage. I might have missed it somewhere. But who the fuck is the frat house, I thought. So one of them turns out it's Preston Vance.
Yeah.
Wasn't that guy a luchador? Remember for a while
what was he doing?
He was a luchador with Roosh.
Yes, because he was in Dark Order forever.
Yeah, and then he became a luchador.
And then he did he unmask him, put his mask back? I forget.
Yes.
Something like that. That's right.
So he was a luchador for a while. Yeah. And then he just vanished. Like him and Roosh and all those guys, they disappeared for a long time. Then they came back and he was gone. Yeah. Then he's here with the frat house. And then the other one is Jack Jameson.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, he had the bear.
Iron Savages.
Yeah, the other guy. And then one of them got in
deep trouble.
Deep trouble. So he's gone.
Yeah.
So now Jack is apparently in the frat house. I don't know what's up with the other bear. But this is the frat house.
Yes. And you didn't mention who's wrestling, which is Griff Garrison.
Griff! Where the fuck is that guy? I haven't seen that guy in years.
I think the last time I saw him, he was teaming with Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah, so these guys just show up on TV, and they're the frat house, and it's like, we're not supposed to have any idea who this group is and these people. I have absolutely no earthly idea. And it didn't matter, because they just got murdered.
Yeah. Boy, did they get murdered.
Oh, they got murdered, effectively.
I was stunned to learn that apparently Griff Garrison has a winning record in AEW wrestling matches.
No, he doesn't.
That's what they said in this thing.
Well, I mean, when's the last time he had an AEW match?
I don't know.
Did they say AEW or just a winning record?
I'm pretty sure it said AEW. They put up his win-loss record, and the win column was higher than the losses. I was blown away by that. Maybe it was a typo. Frankly, that's more likely than I missed a long Griff Garrison win streak or something. Anyway, Hobbs kills all three of them. Just a complete massacre. And he pins Griff with a spine buster. And for some reason, even though he had just killed all three of them, the other two tried to attack, and no matter, the Outrunners make the save, which is, I don't know. We had Hobbs teaming with, was it Commander or Hologram a week or two ago? And that went nowhere. And then the Outrunners come out here to make the save, and I don't think that's going anywhere. Just everyone just hanging out. Just
random. All right, the last time Griff Garrison had a match on AEW television was January 6, 2024. It's over a year ago.
Yeah.
And that was an open challenge with Copeland. And the time before that, this tells you how far back that is. His prior match was with Wardlow.
Mm. I remember
Wardlow. October 2023. Yeah. So if he somehow has a winning record in AEW, I don't know, man.
Lexi interviews Thunder Rosa, who is sick of Megan Bain disrespecting her, disrespecting Chris Statlander, disrespecting Tony Storm, our champion. And then Megan flies in, lays her out, and smiles! Emotion! Human emotion from Megan Bain. That's a good thing.
Well, I mean, she cracked a smile, but I'm not
it's
sure.
It's a start.
Saw a lot of human emotion here.
It's
on
a
this,
start.
This program here.
It's a flicker, a spark.
Yes, it is. It is a spark of something.
Mark Davis versus Mark Briscoe in the last international four-way.
I believe Craig is now here. Is that right, Craig?
Apparently I am, yes.
Via the telephone, yes. Now people can make fun of you for months on end for doing the show on a telephone, but such is life. I don't know. All right, well, go ahead, Vinny. We're on the Mark Davis-Mark Briscoe match.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. A very fun match, mostly because people wanted Mark Briscoe to win so bad. And I was pretty confident he was going to come out, pull this one out. What a fool I am. But they had a fun match, doing back and forth at each other, and Davis has this weird jumping, swinging pile driver thing for a near fall, but Briscoe cuts him off, hits a cartwheel DVD, goes to the top of Froggy Bow. You think, okay, he's going to win. Here's the finish. But no, the murder machines are back. They interfere. One guy takes the ref. One guy shoves Briscoe down. Davis hits that jumping pile driver thing again and wins. A very big upset, I thought. But it was a good match.
Dude, here's the thing. So in what universe should Mark Briscoe not be in this four-way? I mean, it's Mark Briscoe, dude. Of course, this four-way, Mark Davis, he's fine and all, but this four-way would be significantly better with Mark Briscoe in it. So Mark Davis winning told me one thing. We need somebody who's going to do a job in this four-way. And that person is Mark Davis. But, I mean, so it's okay that Mark Briscoe does a job here? Why couldn't they interfere in the four-way? Have the match be a better match, and then someone interferes and he gets pinned or whatever. So I don't know, man. I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not like Mark Davis is bad. He's not bad. But Mark Briscoe would have been better in the four-way. It would have been a better match. And literally the only thing I can come up with for Mark Davis winning this match is A, they need someone to do a job in the four-way, or B, they just wanted one upset since we all knew who was going to win all of these matches. Either way, I wouldn't have done it.
Or letter C, they're actually going to push the guy.
Yeah, he might win.
But I don't think
no.
so.
Perhaps he will win and challenge Kenny Omega. Dynasty.
That'd be fine if it was a TV match. They're not doing Mark Davis and Kenny Omega on a pay-per-view. They're just not going to do
it. You're probably
that.
Right. I Mark Davis is fine and all, but him beating Mark Briscoe, I didn't get it.
So it is Orange Cassidy, Mark Davis, Speedball Bailey, and Ricochet in this four-way on Dynamite. And they put the graphic up, and they put it's the international tournaments. They got everyone's flag for the nation of origin, and there's Speedball with a Canadian flag, and Nigel says, Speedball Bailey, representing Japan. And he kept waiting for the other shooter drop, like for Siobhan to correct him, and nothing happened. Maybe Nigel thinks Speedball actually is from Japan. I don't know.
Well, they had the flags on the screen.
I know.
So he must be from Japan. I don't know how.
They had the Canadian flag on the screen.
Oh, did they? Yes. Oh, okay, well.
Which I guess is vaguely similar. They're both white with a red thing in the middle.
They both wave in the breeze.
Brian showing his geography knowledge again. The murder machines
I'm talking about the... What are you talking about?
Flags.
Yeah, exactly. You said the flags are similar. In what way?
They're both white with a red thing in the middle.
Yeah, I was joking. That's why I said they both wave.
Okay.
They're flags.
I thought you actually didn't know what
idiot. Looked
like.
God. I don't know what the Japanese flag looked like. Are you kidding me?
Can you draw it?
Yes.
Good.
There isn't even much to draw.
I would hope so.
God.
Okay. So, yes, the murder machines are back facing, as I wrote here, four dead geeks. They've been killing and torturing these four men, four anonymous dudes, for like 30 minutes now.
Yeah, they since the show started.
Carry, slash, drag them down to the ring, beat them all up, hit a power bomb, chokeslam combo, and pin one of them. Keep doing stuff. Briscoe runs out with a chair. He's killed. Hobbs comes out. They all just brawl. So is Hobbs teaming with Hologram? Is Hobbs teaming with the Outrunners? Is Hobbs teaming with Mark Briscoe? What's going on with Powerhouse Hobbs here? He has
all the above.
Too many friends.
These guys are like a cat playing with a dead mouse for hours upon end. Except they're human.
Can confirm, actually.
All I know is I've said many times that whatever you think of Tony Khan, the person, whatever. Tony Khan, the character, okay? The AEW, the character on television, Tony Khan, is a fucking maniac. That's his gimmick. When the announcer, the ring announcer just calmly goes, the following match is a 4-on-2 match, and then just casually talked about, I was like, a 4-on-2 match. Okay. Well, it's two men facing four. All right. Well, that's fucking ridiculous. But this Tony Khan character books crazy shit.
Should have been 2 minutes.
Because he's a maniac. Yes. That's what this was.
Not enough geeks out there to make this fair. In recap, Copeland, Moxley, Christian Cage, and Swerve's attack on Moxley, and Swerve's promo trying to regain the title, and Copeland warning Swerve he may win the title first. Which leads to a Swerve promo here on Collision. How tough Ricochet is. Claims to have suffered a ruptured eardrum. That sucks. But he will smack Ricochet's bald ass down again.
I presume that he really suffered a ruptured eardrum because what's his face kicked or slapped Cody or whatever?
Travis Scott.
When he waffled Cody. Yeah. Cody got a ruptured eardrum.
It would be weird to...
They'd just be flat out... There's no reason to flat out copy the injury.
Yeah.
So my presumption is that he suffered a ruptured eardrum.
That sucks.
And he brought it up here and... big mistake.
So he talks about...
Never talk about your injuries.
Yes, yes. Talks about Moxley and Copeland. Copeland, you may not know this, he says, took me under his wing, taught me to seize opportunity, but now he's in my way. Moxley, we have to listen to you say the same drivel every week in boiler rooms talking in riddles. Well, he's not wrong. We really do. Either way, whoever wins, I will beat the winner and win that world title. But then Moxley attacks him with a crowbar and lays him out and heads outside and cuts a promo on Adam Copeland, Swerve Strickland, and Jay White, All of you are amateurs, he says. Wednesday night, Copeland, it's over. Thunder Rosa is backstage getting checked out medical. She will not let Megan Bain punk her out tonight, and she says they're going to get bleeped. Then we have, I'm not making this up, a standby match. And what a standby match. Hologram and Top Flight versus Lee Moriarty and the Infantry with the crew out on stage in their spiky jackets watching.
Okay, so a few things.
Many things.
Well, let's start with standby match, okay? Listen. Tony's been watching wrestling forever. And yes, he loves Mid-South Wrestling, which always had standby matches. We see him every week. There's a standby match.
Yep.
But I cannot for the life of me figure out why he can't figure out what a standby match is. A standby match is a match added to the end of the show because all of the matches that you booked are over and there's still television time left. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The standby match isn't something that happens in the middle of the show. It's even more ridiculous when they do it on Dynamite, because on Dynamite a few weeks ago, they had a standby match, and then, because they always do an overrun, the main event went long past the top of the hour. Why the fuck? Like, if this is real, a standby match is something you do if the idea is, this is real. I booked five matches, they all ended quickly, I got fucking 40 minutes of TV time left, what do? Twiddle my ass? No, I'll throw out a standby match. And if that ends quick, well, I got another standby match. You don't go an hour and a half and then go, oh, here's a standby match before the main event. And then the main event just fucking goes past the top of the hour. So anyway, a standby match in the middle of the show makes... Here's the thing. In Mid-South, a standby match made sense if you want to convince the marks that it's real. Because the show doesn't always fit exactly...
Because the main event went long.
Sometimes the main event goes short. Yeah, and then you have to fill the time. Putting a standby match in the middle of the show doesn't make it seem real. It makes it seem more fake. It doesn't make sense. So anyway.
I guess he thought the Murder Machines and the Four Geeks would go 20 minutes.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you have this Chain Taylor Promotions versus Hologram and Top Flight, should have gone after the main event if there was time for it to be a real standby match.
You're right.
So then... It's Shane Taylor Promotions versus Hologram and Top Flight with Leo Rush and Action Andretti dressed as, we've now determined, Shadow the Hedgehog.
I see.
He's the Black Hedgehog. He's the evil hedgehog who does a babyface turn in the last movie. They are dressed as Shadow the Hedgehog. And here's the thing. If they're actually dressed as Shadow the Hedgehog, then my first question is, why the fuck are you dressed like Shadow the Hedgehog? Okay?
Well, these are new jackets.
They are, but they're similar.
You're not missing the point. You're missing the point. If they are dressed as Shadow the Hedgehog,
sure.
My question is why, okay? However, if they are not dressed as Shadow the Hedgehog, what in the fuck are they wearing and why? What are they wearing? So,
I don't know. They do look like a shadow.
They're watching. Yeah. Then they show Harley Graham watching. Then they show Mortos and Dralistico watching. I'm like, God damn, this is the most interesting standby match in the history of wrestling. Everybody is watching this match.
A lot of eyes on this match.
And I'll just say this. I do not anticipate the segment doing well, but the action was good.
Well, you're going down the same road.
Yes.
That I was going to
do. So these guys had basically Gore-Tex jackets with these giant, puffy spikes. These are more formal. It's like a suit jacket, but got the puffy spikes. So I don't know if what they were addressed, what occasion they were addressed for.
So they have an entire wardrobe of black spiky things. Interesting.
Oh, t-shirts and gym clothes. I want to see it.
Hoodies? Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Pants?
All I know is I
should have spikes in the right spot.
You got the six dudes in this match and however many on the floor, backstage, or whatever. I feel like I have watched these same guys wrestle each other as long as AEW has been a thing and not going anywhere, not doing nothing.
Oh, it went somewhere.
Just wrestling in circles. If you had
Shadow the Hedgehog and his friend split.
Mm.
They broke off.
Yeah, and Feud are the same guys they're teaming with.
Well,
they're
yeah.
They're still worth the same guys every night.
There was a twist.
That's your twist. Yes.
Yes.
So, like, if you don't watch this show regularly, you just tuned in, you probably thought, this is a fun match. I watched this and thought, this is a rerun that I've seen many times over.
I to be fair, is it Darius, the brother of...
Darius is the one who broke his leg. Oh, no, Dante had the broken leg.
Dante broke
They've both been hurt off and on, yes.
Right. He got a hot tag, and I have never seen this brother. Oh, my gosh. This hot tag was fantastic.
Sure.
Yeah,
never
it was a good
seen
match.
Him work that hard.
Yeah. So they had a great comeback, and we have Mortos confronting Harley Graham backstage. And we get to Shivani, who says, quote, I have no idea what to say about this.
Well,
then they learn Drillistico is on Spanish commentary. Let's listen in. And we go to Drillistico ranting in Spanish.
Well, sure.
With nobody telling us what he's saying.
Yeah.
So.
It was not the best commentary on this show, though. That was still to come.
So eventually, the crowd is begging for Hologram to get in there. He never tags in. He comes in without a tag, and there's like three things. And then Top Flight pins Bravo with like a dropkick German suplex combo thing. And surely this big trios win will get them a top contenders match against Undisputed Era or a championship match against the Death Riders for the trios titles.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it will. Yes,
this will go somewhere.
2040, but it'll happen.
It will not someday, happen. Yeah. It will never happen. Speaking of luchadors, Hologram teamed with Top Flight here, but apparently that's not his tag team partner. His tag team partner is Commander. They are the Lucha Stars.
So you know how many people sent me the tweet on, I guess it was Friday or whatever, when they were given their new name? It's like, no. No. Their team name is the Lucha Stars.
Did you spend
that's their team name?
7 seconds thinking of a different name.
Oh my God. The Lucha Stars is their team name.
Couldn't even do it in Spanish to make it, you know, topical or cool.
Estrellas.
Estrellas Luchadores.
Estrellas de Luchas.
Something like that. Yeah, that's much better.
No, they're the Lucha Stars. The Lucha Stars.
Yeah. And they challenge La Facción and Gobernable to a tag match for Slam Dunk Collision, which there's two shows of Slam Dunk Collision. Thank God Nigel, at the end of this, clarifies it's the Sunday Slam Dunk Collision. Megan Bainbridge. Huh? What, huh?
Hollowmander.
Hollowmander?
There's
Hollowmander? Can you yank his ass off and it comes back?
What? Oh, like a salamander.
Don't you know anything about anything, Vinny? God damn it. You tell me I don't know about fucking flags and then you don't know a salamander.
I was thinking of Hollow Man.
Hollowmander!
Oh, that works too.
That's a horrible movie. Megan Bain versus Thunder Rosa. Thunder's ribs were all taped up, so every time Megan's in trouble, she just hits a shot to the ribs. They fight up on stage, where there's the video screen behind them showing the action. It was very distracting. For a second, I thought two other women had run out to join the battle.
Mm-hmm.
There's four women fighting each other. But Megan hits the F5 on the stage, goes for the count-out win.
God damn, that fucking F5 on the stage.
Didn't look good.
Mm. Here's the thing. If you don't want to take an F5 on the stage, just say, that doesn't work for me, brother.
Right.
She took this F5 on all fours. Mm. It couldn't have looked worse. It made her look bad for taking the bump like that. It made Megan look bad for doing a move that looked bad. It was just like, I'm not comfortable with that move. They did in the ring, and it was fine. She was fine taking it in the ring, but God damn, that one on the ramp was fucking terrible.
Yeah, so
couldn't have been good on her knees either. My goodness.
That probably didn't feel much better. So she gets drags her ass back to the ring, barely beats the count in, just gets hit with an F5 and pinned there anyway. There was a lot of sloppiness in this match. You talked about the F5. There was a spot where Megan was supposed to boot Thunder off the apron with a boot that missed by like a foot. But hey, Megan needed a dominant win like this. So she wins dominantly. That's good. And it gets more dominant as she goes to attack more after the match. Tony Storm herself comes out to make the save. But Megan no-sells a headbutt, lays Tony out with the F5. Now she looks like a credible threat.
She did, but it was still, you know, I hate to even say this. I was reminded of Zeus. Remember Zeus?
What? I assume you mean the Japanese wrestler, not...
No, I'm talking Tiny Lister.
She's better than Zeus.
But the point is, like, this is what Zeus did.
And much hotter.
It's like, you had Hulk Hogan, and then they got this Zeus fella, and, like, he'd beat up Hogan, and he, like, squeeze his head or whatever his stupid move was.
God damn it, I'm seeing your point.
And you know, Hogan would be like, ah, and he's all dead.
But,
like,
I'm so pissed you made
nobody
sense.
Nobody actually believed that Zeus was going to beat Hulk Hogan. Maybe if you were eight, but, like, no one in their right mind. And that's exactly what this is. It's like, she's Zeus. She's a big, strong wrestler facing a very charismatic champion that everybody loves, that nobody thinks there's any chance that she's beating. And so they come out and she just squeezes her or whatever, and then she poses. And I thought, you know what? Even Zeus cut promos. And in fact, I Googled, and first thing that came up was a promo, and Zeus cut a promo. Megan has never cut a promo ever. Not once. We know nothing about her, except she likes to pose. She likes to flex her muscles. It's 2025. No Holds Barred was 1988. That was a long fucking time ago. I'm not even sure Tony was born yet.
Even worse than Hollow Man.
Yes. Even worse than Hollowmander.
By a wide margin, in fact.
I wonder if Mark could make that movie, Hollowmander.
So on Dynamite, we have the Moxley-Copeland street fight for the title. Chris Statlander versus Megan Bain, and the four-way with Orange Cassidy, Mark Davis, Ricochet, and Speedball Bailey for a title shot at Kenny Omega. That's a big show. Mainly because of the first and last match there, the title match and the four-way, but still, that's a big show for a Dynamite. Slam Dunk Collision Saturday is Daniel Garcia versus Adam Cole for the TNT title with everyone banned from ringside. That's a hell of a match to just throw out there with a graphic. It's not out of nowhere by any means. In fact, quite the opposite. They've been building to it for so long, you figured the announcement would have been a bigger deal. But they just threw it out. And on Sunday, the Lucha Stars versus Dralístico and Mortos.
Wait, who are they then?
La Facción Gobernable.
They're not Lucha Stars?
They're not Stars of Absolutely Lucha Libre.
Oh. God damn.
See the Dralístico's last performance? No, they're not.
Well, speaking of performances, now it's my turn. I must talk about FTR versus Undisputed with Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia doing commentary. This was the funniest fucking match I've watched in absolutely forever. Because FTR is great. And Undisputed Era are great. And they had a horrible match. Actually, I can't say that. I can't say that. They had the best match I've ever seen where they fucked almost everything up.
There you go.
Okay? And it's this is like something that, like, you gotta watch. If you haven't seen this, like, you gotta watch it. Because A, it's hard to even fathom that Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly versus FTR, they could fuck up 50 spots. It's like, you can't even believe that this could happen, okay? But it's even better because on commentary are Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia, okay? So they're going to be feuding. They're going to have another match for the whatever title Daniel Garcia has, TBS title or TNT title or whatever. It's Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia next week. So they're kind of, you know, they're at odds. And they're both, you know, their team is in the ring. Daniel Garcia's buddies with FTR. I guess he's the new Adam Copeland. And Adam Cole is obviously with Undisputed Era. So they start doing this match. And I think it was you, Vinny. The last time they had a match, which was a great match with a weird finish, but it was a great match. Roddy and did you say it was Roddy and Cash, Vinny? Or did you say Roddy and Dax?
I do not recall.
I don't recall? No. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter because Roddy and anybody should be awesome. But Roderick Strong and Cash Wheeler get in together and I swear to God, they fucked up like five sequential spots in a row. Like, they're supposed to be an over-under in the corner. They fuck it up. Then there's a leapfrog spot, and they fuck it up. And Roddy just knees this guy right in the head. And he screams something. like, mine, my fault or something. I don't remember. And then they go for a boot spot, and they fuck that up. We're now 3. So then Roddy gets sent into the corner, and he appears to accidentally headbutt Dax in the nose. Dax scrubs his face like, shit. And then he asks for a tag, and Cash is like, nope. Cash is like determined. We're going to make this right. So they start going back to work. And as all of this is happening, as they're just fucking up one spot after another, Daniel Garcia is out there saying, FTR is one of the best tag teams. They're the best tag team in the world. These are two of the best teams, Adam Cole says. I agree. Two of the best teams. They're fucking up spot after spot. I'm like, oh my God. So they go a little further. Now, Roddy tries to low bridge Cash. The fucking ref is standing right in the way. Another spot gets fucked up. And then the absolute, like, this is an all-timer, okay?
Yeah.
A fucking all-timer. Dax lifts up Roddy, and they're going to go for the heart attack. Y'all know what the heart attack is? Dax lifts him up, and Cash hits the ropes for this heart attack. So as he hits the ropes, Daniel Garcia says, FTR, you want to know why they're the best tag team in the world? Because they always know where each other is in the ring at all times. He's saying that as this fucking happens. Cash fucking hits the ropes, and he realizes, shit, I'm on the wrong side.
Uh-huh.
So he decides, all right, I'm gonna hit the other ropes, everything will be fine. So he hits the ropes, and he goes to hit the other ropes. But as he's running, Dax realizes, shit, he's on the wrong side. So now Dax turns around. So now Cash is on the wrong side again. So Cash goes, fuck, I gotta keep running. So he keeps running, and now Dax in the middle is like, he's pirouetting in a circle. Where's this guy at? All right, he's gonna be here next. They're spinning. I was fucking dying. As Daniel Garcia is talking about, they always know where each other is in the ring at all times. I was like, oh my God. I like, you couldn't write better comedy than what we saw here. And they finally hit it. So they hit it, and they cut to the announcers. And Nigel is watching the monitor, and he is fucking crying with laughter. He's like, I had to mute himself. He's just looking at this thing, and he's laughing his ass off, and they go to break. And man, they come back, and like, when they came back, like, everything was fine.
Yes.
They got back on the same page. Dax fucking bleeding from the chest somehow. And like, the rest of the match was great. Like, they got on the same page. That's, you know, people who don't wrestle, they don't get it. But I'm going to explain this to you. If you're new, okay, if you're just starting out as a wrestler, and you're green, well, something gets fucked up, and the match is a lost cause. Now you're in your own head, and everything's going to get fucked up. You're just going to be miserable, and the whole match is going to be a pile of shit, okay? But when you're a pro, you fuck something up, and you know what? God damn it, Cash, he ain't tagging out. Me and Roddy, we're going to get this right. I'm going to go try it again. And like, then something else gets fucked up, and they just keep going. And, you know, I'm sure it bothers them in the moment, but then it's like, we got to get back into it. And they got this fucking match back on track. So that's a huge credit to them, that by the time they got to the end, this was very good. But the first fucking half of this match was like, you gotta watch it. It's incredible.
You're glossing over my favorite of these, which is where right before the heart attack thing, you talked about Cash being a little ridge, but it's a some sort of double team they had planned. No one's in the right position. And so Cash like gets in the ring and just stops. And Roddy's like, come at me, bro. Waving. And Shawnee's like, oh, you can see Roddy calling Cash over to him. And he like realizes what he has just said. He set a trap. He lured him in. Yes, it was. My writing here was, it all worked out in the end, but it should not have been this hard.
Yes.
It was very hard. What a struggle these four men had.
Yeah, but goddamn, they pulled it off in the end.
But they succeeded. This was a successful match. Let's be clear about this. There's a good Collision main event.
Yeah.
Thanks entirely to the post-commercial segment.
Yes.
I've never seen a match fall apart so bad, and then I popped for the finish.
Yeah.
Because it was good.
Yeah. So the finish was, after many near falls and teases and whatnot, FTR breaks up the high-low, hits a shatter machine, they get the win, turned into an excellent wrestling match, and Cole and Garcia somehow, it was kind of miraculous. Cole and Garcia hit the ring for their respective crews. The two of them shake hands, but FTR still will not shake hands with Strong and O'Reilly, even after beating them here in this match. So there's a third match down the line coming, in addition to that TNT title match on Tuesday. Well, that was something.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't like a bad show. I can't recommend anyone go out of their way to watch it, but you should go watch the main event, because it's just astounding. You get to see something you never thought you'd see. You get to see people pull back together again. You get to see a terrible match become good. I mean, it's quite the lesson in pro wrestling, that main event.
We also watched WWE SmackDown.
Yes.
March 14th, 2025 in Barcelona, Spain.
That's what they called it.
What a crowd.
What a great crowd. Into everything and cheering the people that are supposed to cheer and booing the people that are supposed to boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the big stars arrive, including my favorite, Randy Orton, and what I assume is the real Mrs. Orton. Remember all those times?
Oh, the fake Mrs. Orton? Yeah.
There's like a harem of fake Mrs. Randy Ortons out there.
There were a few.
I think Randy just brought his wife to a show one time. So LA Knight comes out for a promo. In recap, he beat Nakamura last week to regain his U.S. title. He runs his mouth. Jimmy Uso interrupts. My only road to WrestleMania is to challenge you for that U.S. title. The Bloodline comes out. Solo Sikoa says Jacob Fatu wants a U.S. title shot. All the brothers are bickering and mocking each other. A brawl breaks out. It's 3-on-2. Braun Strowman saves. And Nick Aldis books a trios match. There's LA Knight, Jimmy Uso, and Braun Strowman versus Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu. We've been saying this for years. Every WWE show should have a trios match because they are always fun.
These guys, what's funny? What else we've been saying for years? Why do they make poor Braun Strowman run in every match? It's like a comedy now. All this guy does is run.
Yeah.
Like, he ran to make the save in the opening promo. Then he stood on the apron until it was time for the hot tag. And then all he did was run.
Yeah.
Run shoulder tackle. Run shoulder tackle. Run shoulder tackle. Run. And he doesn't run very well. But this poor bastard is just like, you must run. No one else has to run. But this guy, he has to run.
Yes. But these guys did like nothing. But it was so much fun. Because everyone's over. All you have to do is sell, tag out. Come in, hit your high spots, sell, tag out, repeat. And it was tremendous fun. Eventually, Braun pinned Tama Tonga with a power slam. And afterwards, Solo Sikoa spikes Braun. Samoan spiked to the throat there. Jacob Fatu, now that Braun is laid out, jumps him, moonsaults him 3 times. Looked great, and came back a 4th time and speared him through the barricade.
All right, I've mentioned this before, but it really bears repeating on this particular show. There's a spot that they do in AEW and WWE, but they do it more in WWE, and it is way overdone. And that is beat the guy up, beat the guy up, beat the guy up, beat the guy up. Finally leave, walk 90% of the way back to the locker room, and then sprint back to the ring to beat him up one more time. We see this every fucking week. And when I saw it here, I was like, God damn it. I've already seen that this week. I don't need to see it again. Fucking, they did it twice on one show. They did it later in the same show. Just like beat the guy up and leave. We got it. It's one thing every 25 beatdowns, the guy gets taken away or he leaves and then he runs back and does it one more time. Cool, okay? Every fucking show, overdone.
Okay, to be fair, Jacob Fatu got a runway's worth of road between him and Braun Strowman, and he sprinted down and put this bro through the dasher boards, and it looked like the thing exploded, and I thought it was a really cool visual. So I'm okay with this.
Well, you are, because you don't watch every show. So you only see it once every 4 weeks.
But I watched the same thing happen on this show.
I know, I'm sick of it.
Later on.
That's enough of that shit. Well, then they shouldn't have done it here then. Or on the next one. One of them at least should have been taken out.
A recap of Jade Cargill attacking Naomi in the Elimination Chamber, and then last week's incredible Naomi Bianca Belair
segment. God damn, was it ever.
It's actually even better this recap, because it's something I missed, which is when it gets really heated and they're screaming at each other right before Naomi confesses and Bianca's pressing her, stop, you need to stop, you need to stop, and finally screams, Trinity, stop! She called her by her real name. She got so hot. That's even better. So that'll happen. Naomi confesses, Jade beat her up. Now Kathy Kelly is interviewing Jade Cargill in an empty arena here before the show in Barcelona. Physically, Jade says, I'm ready to go. Kathy asks, how did you... The best question in wrestling interview history. How did you know Naomi was your attacker, and is there a reason you didn't tell anyone?
That was a great question.
Great questions.
And goddammit, Jade had a great answer.
Yeah. She said, all I remember is I was hit and I was laid out. I saw Naomi running away. I didn't tell anyone because she attacked my integrity and my loyalty. Then I watched Bianca team up with her, and that made me realize I had to handle things on my own.
No. That is what she said, but you missed the key point.
Right.
She said... Everything grew dark. Naomi ran away. That was her big sister, et cetera, et cetera. She attacked my loyalty. But then she saw Bianca tag with her and realized, how can I trust anybody? So the question was always, why didn't you call Bianca and say that Naomi was the one who attacked you? Well, as soon as Bianca teamed up with Naomi, the story is the reason she didn't call her was because now she didn't trust her either. And in reality, you know, you can all say whatever, but when we all watched the angle, we all thought Bianca did it. And even when Naomi stepped up to be her partner, was like, was it Bianca or Naomi? So the idea is that that is also what Jade was thinking. Well, fuck. I mean, Bianca's teaming with her now. Maybe she was in on it. I don't trust anybody. I'm not going to talk to anybody.
So she explains this, and they're doing this interview. It's an empty arena. They're, I don't know, 15 rows up. And then walking down near the front row is Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. And they interrupt. They're pissed off because for weeks, everyone's been accusing them of doing this. And Jade knew it was not them the entire time. Didn't tell anybody. So they're pissed off at her. And Jade's pissed off at them. I'll fight you next week. Listen, that's fine. Loser. Idiot. And storms away, and Jade storms off. This whole thing is the best storyline in WWE right now.
So far, it's, I mean,
it's awesome.
It was last week it turned a corner.
Yeah. B-Fab does a promo in Spanish for the Barcelona crowd, and then says, Charlotte, I'm here to build my own legacy. If it starts with you, that's perfect for me. This is very good. Then they did the match. I don't know the last time I saw B-Fab wrestle. She was not this good.
Well, you know, she was, she had a match. They had a tournament several months back, and they announced that B-Fab was in the tournament, and, like, she never wrestled. And I forget who they put her with, but it was like, oh, there's no way. Look up her win-loss record. See who this tournament match was with. But I remember thinking, like, there's no way this can be good. I was, like, just dreading it.
B-Fab?
Yeah. But then the fucking match was, like, it was good, and she looked really good. And, you know, she was... Here's the thing with this match. A lot of people really don't like Charlotte. What is that noise?
My voice to text is actually turned on. My mistake.
I see. So a lot of people really don't like Charlotte. I don't have a problem with Charlotte like a lot of people do. But I was watching this match. And I don't know if Charlotte does this on purpose or not. Okay? But... your job as a wrestler, as the veteran in the match, is to do what you can to, like, have the best match that you can have. And if your opponent is green, your job is to carry the match. Okay? And part of that entails, when shit starts to go wrong, you try to help the green person through that shit, right?
Should be.
When you watch a Charlotte match, and particularly this match, there were a couple things that B-Fab wasn't, you know, there was a problem or whatever, and Charlotte just, like, let her drown. There was, like, no attempt to, like, save her, throw the life preserver. It was like, it was almost like she wanted you to know, B-Fab fucked this up, so I'm just gonna let her fail. Then they got back
into
the match.
That's how I took it.
That's what I got from this. I could be wrong, yep. But as a worker, I watched this and thought, fuck, dude, she's fucking up. Like, help her. Like, carry her through this. Don't just, like, let the world know she fucked this up. But anyway, she put in the figure eight and submitted her, refused to release the hold. And then Tiffany came down, slid into the ring, almost killed herself. And then they had this wild brawl. And it was the usual wild brawl, break free, wild brawl, break free, wild brawl, break free, dive off the table, dive off the post, go to commercial, come back. They're still brawling. Tiffany dives off the Tron, wipes everybody out. And I thought it was a great brawl, but also I thought that the second part of the brawl they could have done next week. We still got like 6 weeks until WrestleMania. They got to save some stuff. But it was good. What did you discover? You got lost over there.
I did. I am not certain that B-Fab has ever won a match on WWE television.
I don't think he has. But what was the match in the tournament? It was in the U.S. title tournament.
Piper Niven defeats B-Fab.
Must have been Piper Niven.
Yeah.
Is that her last match?
No, she had a tag match. They did win a tag match against
the singles.
Celeste Piper. The singles match. Oh, she was in Speed. Does that count?
No.
Okay.
Was it Meechin?
U.S. title tournament first round triple threat. Bayley defeats B-Fab and Candice LeRae.
That might have been the one. She looked really good in that match too, if I recall. Yeah. Way better than you would expect.
But I thought I had found one, but now I can't find it. Okay, now it's somewhere else. I'm not sure between SmackDown, pay-per-views, or NXT that B-Fab has ever won a singles match.
Mm.
A couple of house show wins here and there. Anyway, I thought she was fine. and the brawl was very good, although that was also overdone when they did it again later. Drew McIntyre has a promo video. He realized, for all those times that he has been screwed over the past however long it's been, the one person who always benefited was Damian Priest. He won the title at Mania. Punk screwed him. Damian Priest cashed in. Clash of the Castle. Punk screwed him. Damian Priest won. Money in the Bank, he cashed in. He got screwed. Priest retained. And then Priest knocked him out of the Rumble. Priest knocked him out of the Chamber match. So I dropped your arse, he says. And putting you down for good so you can never take anything from me again is all I have left. We have epic moments in SmackDown history. We go back to 2017. AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal for the World Championship. My God, how things have changed. AJ wins with the phenomenal forearm. Miz comes out to start Miz TV, but they're interrupted by Tiffany and Charlotte brawling. Did you mention that kerfuffle earlier where Tiffany hit a giant dive off the post on everybody? Well, they just did the same damn thing. Did a giant dive off the Tron on everybody. I don't know if they didn't like the dive off the post and said, go do it again or what, but it just the exact same thing they did earlier. So Miz TV just continues. He says, Cody Rhodes got beat up by two great rappers in Travis Scott and John Cena. Unlike me, he will not beat Cena at Mania. Cody comes out, is doing the whole thing. Miz is like, cut off his music. So Cody beats his ass. Best Miz TV ever. And Cody challenges Cena to face him on Monday. Nick Aldis scolds Shinsuke Nakamura for missing a referee last week. Nakamura just wants his rematch. Priest interrupts like a dick. Nakamura is rightfully pissed, I thought. So Damian challenges him in Spanish. Aldis agrees. That's that. So we get Damian Priest versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Damian beat the fuck out of him. Not like in a stiff way or a shoot way, but he just dominated like 80% of this match. It was a long squash with a wonky finish. He beat him and beat him and beat him. And who interfered? Somebody interfered. Oh, Drew McIntyre came out towards the end there. One distraction. And Nakamura got one last flurry, but Kinshasa ran right in the south of heaven and drew attacks for the DQ. And they double-teamed Priest for a while.
This was a shitty finish, and when it happened, I was, like, really irritated. Because it's like, Damian Priest, why the fuck can't he beat Shinsuke Nakamura? Why do we have to do a DQ? But then when they did all the post-match, and, you know, they had Shinsuke hit the Kinshasa, and then Drew continued to beat his ass and Nakamura. I presume they're going to do an LA Knight Nakamura rematch for the U.S. title, probably on TV or somewhere. And so they didn't want to beat Nakamura again. Because if that's not the plan, there's no logical reason why Damian Priest couldn't beat Nakamura. And we got the table chance, and he hit him with the steps, and then
Bendejo sure as shit, as well.
Drew leaves, and you'll never guess what happened. He ran back down and laid him out again. I was like, God damn it, that's twice on one show. Fuck! They did not need this. And then he fucking curb stomped this guy right in the head, and he sold him like he was concussed. I was like, wow. That was not allowed, not that long ago, but now they did it. Hey, I got to mention, by the way, before we go on here, all of you folks listening for free, it is WrestleMania season, and you should sign up, because we do these shows every day, 84 shows a month. That's not a verbal typo, 84 shows a month. And 15,000, it might be 16,000 now. I'll have to go back and check. Like 15,000 in the archives. 84 shows every single month. And we have a new subscriber special. If you've never signed up, you can get half off. You go to f4wonline.com/new. That is f4wonline.com/new. And you can get a half off subscription and enjoy all of this going through Mania. Brian Vinny Show 3 days a week. Sometimes more if there's a pay-per-view, and Observer Live every day, and Observer Radio, and all of the other shows as well. So check it out, f4wonline.com/new, and if you just want the podcasts, straight $9.99 just for the podcasts, you could do it on YouTube, f4wonline.com/YouTube. You can watch the shows, actually, not just listen to them, or Apple Podcasts, f4wonline.com/Apple, or Spotify, f4wonline.com/Spotify. A lot of new listeners on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so thank you everybody who signed up, and we got a lot of great stuff coming up towards Mania, and we'll be back, not to get ahead of ourselves, but we're reviewing Mid-South Wrestling every Tuesday, which if you hate this modern-day stuff, you should listen to the review of Mid-South Wrestling, because that's a fun time. But anyway, to DIY...
Kathy,
actually, I had a question before we do this.
Yes, Greg.
A couple of weeks ago, you both were complaining about the music, the entrance music. Is there a reason they changed everybody's entrance music?
They do it all the time. They get new guys writing it, and then they want to.
It's just because it's not that.
Yeah.
Like Nakamura, like changed his character a little bit, but his music was awesome, and then
doesn't matter. New music.
If you're gonna that's the last song I'm gonna complain about, because every version
Finn Balor's music
that sucks.
Yeah.
Damian Priest got new music. I don't know why. There's tons of them. At least Nakamura is like it's a variation on the same theme, and they're all cool. I will say that they got that one right. But
it seems that it's not a licensing thing. It's just they got bored.
Yes,
there's a lot of shitty music in WWE, and there's a lot of shitty music everywhere. But that's another story.
So Kathy Kelly interviews DIY. Tommaso Ciampa says, SmackDown has the greatest tag division in all of wrestling. Now, I like all of the tag teams on SmackDown's roster. There's five or six of them. I enjoy all of them. But to say this is a great tag division is horseshit, because they never actually get time to do anything. They're thrown out there as a token gesture of goodwill, I guess because we're paying you, we may as well give you some TV time, but nothing much ever happens. Okay, I'll get to the main event of this show when it's time, but it's a waste of great talent is what the tag division is. So anyway, they run down the Street Profits. The Machine Guns interrupt. They say, we have not forgotten what you did to win those titles.
Honestly, NXT may have the best tag division.
Hall of Unfinished Business. I'm not even sure who's on NXT right now. Who are the NXT tag champs? Oh, Fraxium, of course.
Fraxium.
Yes.
You got Fraxium. Yeah.
By themselves, they make that a great tag division.
Hardys.
Because they have great matches with guys who are on the verge of being cut regularly. Yeah. Yes. That's fair. We see clips of CM Punk on Legends and Future Greats. It's promo day. We have some good promos, some bad promos, some profanity, and a very upset Undertaker, which I bet is a weekly thing.
Weekly?
I bet so. Kathy interviews Chelsea and the Secret Service, which I think should be the Secret Service. That's a better name. Anyway. She's running her mouth when Zelina Vega interrupts, threatens to take her title. Piper Niven says, "You'll have to go through us first." And Zelina's like, "Fine, I'll beat you next week." Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes. This is another one. This is the higher star, who also happens to be the babyface, just beats his ass and beats his ass and beats his ass, gives him some pity offense at the end, hits his finish and wins. Very clear line on the show between the top stars and the geeks.
Well, Carmelo's not supposed to be a geek, but he's definitely not at Randy Orton's level. Yep. And I watched this match. I knew it was going to be like good, and it was good.
It was good,
but it was not better than good. And I think some of it was, you know, when the match started, all people wanted to see was the RKO. And Carmelo's a high flying guy, and so you sit there and the match starts, and you think, what crazy shit is going to happen in this match? That Randy's going to, you know, he's going to have to hit that RKO off some crazy spot. And so I got thinking about it. I was like, nothing but net. You can't do an RKO out of nothing but net. And I know I can just see Randy's brain trying to think the same thing, like, I can't make that look real. What, he's going to jump for nothing but net head first? And it's not going to work. So I'm watching the match thinking, the fuck's he going to come up with here? Like, he's got to have some plan. And so Melo ends up hitting the first 48, which is like a code breaker. Mm-hmm. And like Randy goes up and he holds his face or whatever, and then as old Melo stands up, Orton just RKOs him. Yeah. And to his credit, it was not a spectacular finish in any way, but it was absolutely an RKO out of nowhere, and he and he pinned the guy. And then, you know, everybody loves the RKO or whatever. And so when the match started, Randy offered a handshake and Carmelo shunned him. And so when the match is over, he offers a handshake again. Carmelo shuns him, so Randy gives him the second RKO. And I will say this, you know, what is wrestling? What's your job as a wrestler? Well, it isn't necessarily to go have a five-star match every time out. There's many things that you need to accomplish in a match. But in a match like this, what's the point of this match? Well, you want to please the crowd. That's it. The whole point of this match was to please the crowd. They love Randy Orton. Go have a crowd pleaser. And that is absolutely 100% what they did. They didn't do anything more or less than they needed to do to absolutely please this crowd. And it was a simple story. Shunned handshake. Give the guy a little bit. RKO out of nowhere. Shunned again. RKO him again. Fucking crowd heat for this match was crazy. The crowd heat afterward was crazy. And then they had the quick angle with Kevin Owens running down and attacking Randy Orton. And a quick brawl, and he posted him and ran for his life, sets up their match coming up. And at the end of the day, I thought this was a very good segment. It did what it needed to do.
I know it's cliche to say that someone is no bigger than somebody else's leg. Carmelo is probably a good 10 pounds lighter than Randy Orton's leg. Randy Orton is enormous right now. And Carmelo is a very small man.
And it looks actually not that small, almost, but...
Well, I understood, but it's just that Randy's so darn big.
Yes.
But it almost looked comical, them working each other, but...
They're not in the same weight class, no. Yeah, the athletic commission should have put a stop to this. Yeah. Jacob Fatu does a backstage promo. He still rules. There's a dog walk Braun Strowman's ass next week. A short video package where we see smoke, we hear footsteps, and we see the numeral 4.
Four more weeks till these goddamn Wyatts are back.
You throw in some cracking electricity, this could have been straight out of David Lynch.
This is the Wyatts for sure?
Oh, I don't know. Presume so.
Okay.
I could do...
Not Malachi.
Could be him too. Mm. I don't know.
Okay. I could do a series of shows about Gunther on this episode of SmackDown. He's the best. Gunther comes out for a promo. He's briefly sucking up to the crowd. The road to WrestleMania in Europe starts tonight. Everyone goes crazy. I, as the greatest European wrestler ever, I say, I wish we were in Madrid instead. Everyone boos. All of you people love Jey Uso for waving his hands like an idiot. But once the bell rings, there's no substance behind it. It doesn't mean a damn thing. So I'm going to prove a point tonight. I heard there's a kid you all love. Everyone goes crazy. They know who he's talking about. I will prove your love doesn't mean a damn thing. And he brings out Axiom.
He actually called him a kid.
Yes.
They acknowledged that Axiom is a kid. Mm-hmm. And you ever seen, you remember a kid before he got a mask?
I actually don't. I saw him.
Actually, he's a handsome young man.
Sure, yeah.
And I have no idea why they have a mask on him. I'm baffled. But at least now he's got this black mask. This mask is awesome. His other mask that he had, it just looked like something that they made on the fly one afternoon and he wore it for years. But he should have just taken off the mask and come out as A-Kid. They would have fucking went crazy for that guy.
And well, he came out fighting the world champion in front of his home country on global TV, a big hot crowd. You've never seen him so happy. So it's Gunther versus Axiom. My God. We had a great week of wrestling, you know? We had Revolution from AEW. We had Roadblock in NXT. This is one of my favorites of all of them. This was so fucking good. The cliche in wrestling they talk about all the time, everything has to mean something. And a lot of the times, the something it means is I'm filling time until you make your comeback. Everything they did meant something from the moment the bell rang. Gunther is very cocky. He's very arrogant. He is very big. He has brought the small guy who is popular to prove that being popular doesn't mean anything. I'm still going to beat your ass. And so he tries to use his power and size to overwhelm Axiom. And it works a few times. Then Axiom is too fast. They're just circling the ring. They're never taking their eyes off each other. And I know Axiom is wearing a mask where you can't see his eyes, but you can still tell his eyes are fixed on Gunther. He pushes him back to the corner. He hits one giant ass chop to let Gunther know he's not backing down. He means business tonight. And Gunther's like, okay, hit me with your best shot. And he lets Axiom unload on him. And Gunther's selling. This is good stuff, but it's not as good as Gunther's. And Gunther has that one big chop and cuts him off. We're not even to the commercial break yet. That was an incredible 2 minutes of pro wrestling right there. My heart was full, and they weren't even done yet. So Gunther's dominating him. But he gets too arrogant, makes a tactical error, goes to the mask, which won't help him win, won't help him prove his point, but it does let Axiom recover, hits a dragon screw in the ropes. Axiom makes this big hot comeback, flying all over the place, and now he has figured Gunther out. Gunther at this point has been one-dimensional, chops and power moves, and every time Gunther tries this shit, Axiom is too fast for them. He dodges, he counters, he rolls through, whatever. Until Gunther has to switch up his game plan. He goes aerial. Gunther's a mighty dropkick and a powerbomb. But he had to fight fire with fire to get the advantage on Axiom here. Big-ass top rope battle ends in an avalanche hurricane rana. And the golden ratio, Axiom's finisher. Gunther kicks out of that. Fans are pissing themselves at this point. They're having a strike exchange. And it's even in the damage done. But Gunther is eating five blows to land one. Because each of his blows is so, so mighty. Axiom finally lures him in, catches a chop, turns into a submission hold, but Gunther out-wrestles him, turns into a powerbomb, a lariat, a second powerbomb for the win. The fans are devastated. They're heartbroken. This is outstanding. This was incredibly great. You all must watch this match. Loved it with all my heart.
This match was pretty goddamn great, I will say. Crowd was awesome. I mean, they've worked together many times. And they didn't do like a WWE match. They did the same match they would have done anywhere. It was fucking great. And the one problem, I can't even blame them, but like, this was an awesome crowd. But after this match, I mean, they were
not as much into the tag match.
Nah, they were like,
whatever else happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is, and we'll get to that tag match in a second.
We got a long way to go here.
God damn, is it that far? Not really. Just some promos.
All right.
But this match was awesome. You should all go watch it. An excellent, like, this is a match if you have a wrestling school or,
yes,
you know, the Performance Center. They should show this match as, this is how you do a David versus Goliath match.
Yep.
It was exactly how it should be done. You didn't sell too much for the little guy, but you sold enough to give him credibility. You convinced the people it's possible that he could win, but in the end, he did not. And he did not decisively, because the champion is still the better man.
You know, Vinny described that match pretty much move by move. I have really nothing to add, because Vinny so eloquently
thank you
took care of this. But man, this is a fantastic match. And if you're a wrestler, you're a small wrestler going out to face a bigger man, watch this. This was so good.
It was important to me that I do a good job of explaining how great that match was, and I hope I did. Recap of Raw, where it's Seth Rollins versus CM Punk inside a steel cage.
They make the superplex.
It was very important, Vinny, because I think when people hear Axiom versus Gunther,
yeah,
there might be doubt.
Sure.
They make the superplex look like Mick Foley falling off the cell.
Yes.
Each guy kicks out of everything. Roman Reigns finally shows up, yanks Seth out of the cage, which is a finish, but he still beats Seth's ass. And then he sees Paul Heyman tending to a fallen CM Punk, so he kills CM Punk too. This leads to Paul Heyman coming out for a promo. His mission here is mainly to plug the video game. It's Roman Reigns Day because the video game is out. It is not the day of my good friend CM Punk, nor is it the... I forget what he called him, but he buried Seth Rollins. He works with Roman Reigns. He's a friend with CM Punk. He does not like Seth Rollins at all. Doesn't respect him at all. Promises Roman Reigns will be in Bologna for SmackDown next week. You can say whatever you want to his face live. And somewhere in here, Wade mentioned that Paul Heyman still owes a favor to CM Punk. Mm-hmm. So next week on SmackDown, Roman Reigns returns. Jade Cargill versus Liv Morgan.
That Paul Heyman promo was a total heel promo. It was 100% a heel promo, which was pretty interesting because he's been a babyface for well over a year now. And it was just interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was heeling on the crowd, burying Seth Rollins, and yeah. Say, go ahead and boo him to his face in Italy. Buy a fucking ticket and go there.
He didn't say that, actually.
It's like, wow.
Yeah. So next week, Roman Reigns returns. Jade Cargill versus Liv Morgan. Zelina Vega versus Piper Niven. And Braun Strowman versus Jacob Fatu. Santos Escobar and Los Garza wish the Street Profits luck. We hope you win. So we're going to take the titles from you. The Profits blow them off, and they start cutting this great promo. It's just nothing earth-shattering in the content, but the delivery is awesome. It is quite literally on their way to the ring because they're great at their jobs. Gunther meets with Jimmy Uso. I got a younger brother, he says. You are obviously the more mature twin. In the end tonight, I choked my opponent out, left him laying like a wet towel. If Jey Uso insists on facing me at WrestleMania, I'll have to do the same to him. You must talk him out of this. So Jimmy vows that Jey will beat him. And Gunther says, I'm sorry. I was mistaken about your maturity. But I tried. I really did. I love Gunther so much. He's incredible. DIY versus the Street Profits.
All right, so here's the thing with this match. First off, we only saw like 8 minutes of it.
Thank God
they didn't have a standby match in the middle of the show.
It was like 2 minutes commercial, 2 minutes commercial, and then 6 minutes. So really,
maybe,
6 minutes.
There were 6 minutes of TV time left. So we're talking maybe 5 minutes.
From coming back to the commercial to the bell ringing was 6 minutes.
Okay. Till the bell ring, all right. But anyway, the point is, they didn't have a lot of time on TV.
That's the point.
And, you know, the crowd, I think the crowd was like depressed after Axiom lost. Because, like, they were hot for everything on this show. And DIY and the Street Profits come out, and this is a match for the tag team. It's a championship match, tag team title match. And I watched this Saturday night, and, you know, I was off grid till I watched it. And I had no idea who won this match as I was watching it. No idea. So I'm watching this match, and, you know, the crowd's dead. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure out, like, who's going to win this match from watching it. And you could tell that the crowd did not think they were going to see a title change. I think the crowd actually watches SmackDown, and they were thinking what I was thinking, which is, here we are, another tag title match. One of these 55 fucking teams is going to run in.
Yep.
And we're going to have a multi... Yeah.
They've established the machine guns.
Yes.
They've established those guards. They showed
somebody's going to run
Dudley's
in.
Watching backstage. The candidates are many.
So I was thinking the same thing as the fans. I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's a and it's short, too. If it had been like a 25-minute match, it'd be like, okay, maybe we'll have a title change. But they only had like 8 minutes of TV time or 6 minutes or whatever. So I'm thinking, okay, DQ finish, whatever. What am I wasting my time for? And I'm watching it. The crowd's kind of dead. And then I'm like watching the match. And it's just like... Okay, definitely going to be a run-in because the Street Profits are working this match like they're not winning the tag team titles. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, they're just kind of, you know, they're doing their shit, but it's like not half-assing it, but it was like they weren't working like a team that was going to win the tag team titles. And then they start doing all the big shit there at the end, and You know, they finally did a fairy tale ending, which Dawkins kicked out of, and the crowd actually popped for that. And then they try the meet in the middle DIY, and they and Gargano accidentally hits Ciampa. And for whatever fucking reason, the crowd saw that, and they must have seen, like, fuck, there's a minute left, and he just fucking hit his partner. And they looked to the back, and there's nobody there. And all of a sudden, they were like, holy shit! And so Ford goes up to the top, and then all of a sudden, everyone in the crowd stood up like, oh my God, we're actually going to see a title change. Guy does the big fucking frog splash. Everyone's looking around. No one's coming! This guy counts the fucking pin, and this crowd went crazy. Nobody was expecting a tag title change. And they got one in their town on live television. They fucking went wild. So at the end of the day, it was like a success. But you can see that it was two things. It was Axiom being beaten in his hometown clean. And it was the booking led you to believe it was going to be another run-in finish in a short main event. And it actually wasn't. They swerved the people and gave them more than they expected. So from that aspect, good for them.
Yeah, I thought they only had 6 minutes of TV time really to work with, because I don't even count what happens before the break anymore. And I thought they made the absolute most out of those 6 minutes, and a great job by everyone involved here in that aspect. I just wish they had more time.
I thought the Street Profits looked awesome. I haven't seen them in a bit, and I like their new kind of heelish persona, real arrogant and cocky. And man, they look great, especially Dawkins. To be honest with you, he did a majority of the work on this match, and it looked good.
Well, a quick reminder before we go: this show is free, and if you loved it, you should sign up, because we do a lot of shows. 3 Brian and Vinny every week, 83 total shows, 84 total shows every month, 15,000 archived shows, and there's a lot of ways you can sign up, including F4WOnline.com/new, our new subscriber special. You can get half off. It's F4WOnline.com/new. And you can also do our podcast-only options on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. F4WOnline.com/Apple, F4WOnline.com/Spotify, F4WOnline.com/YouTube. Any of those work. So sign up. It's WrestleMania season. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. And if you love the Brian and Vinny Show, Thursday we'll be covering AEW and NXT. And Tuesday it is
Mid-South Wrestling Season 6, Episode 17.
Season 6, Episode 17. This is 1984 Mid-South Wrestling. It'll
be April 28th, 1984.
Yes, April 28th, 1984.
The peak of Stagger Lee versus the former Mr. Wrestling
team. Yeah, and you can go on Peacock and watch all of these along with us, or if you're outside the country, because people have asked, these are all on YouTube.
Sure.
So what's the date again?
Should be April 28th, 1984.
Yeah, so go watch the show, and then Tuesday you can play along with us. And Granny's going to be on Tuesday as well. And Granny's segments where she reviews wrestling, never a dull moment. So that's coming up Tuesday. But anyway, thanks everybody for joining us for this free show here today. We appreciate it. Hit like and subscribe if you're watching on Twitter. Don't forget that. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Adios.